Hello and welcome to the October Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about spooky anime. I'm your host, Ghoulish Ace, and joining me are Vampiric Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Goblin Gozagoz.
Hand of mine glows with an awesome power. Its burning grip tells me to defeat you. Take this, my love, my anger, and all of my sorrow.
I said Goblin, not Gundam.
Oh no.
Today's episode we're talking about When They Cry Outbreak, aka Higurashi no Naku Koro Nikaku Outbreak, an OVA from 2013. I chose this one because it's October, so we're covering horror-themed stuff, and there's a whole bunch of When They Cry anime, so this is what we picked. It was produced by Studio Dean, the studio behind Ranma Half, Bomberman Jetters, and Fate Stay Night. When They Cry Outbreak has a My Anime List score of 7.21, making it the second highest show we've covered behind Pokemon Origins.
Oh wow, I didn't actually realize that.
This is based on the When They Cry series by 07th Expansion. Do you pronounce the zero or is it just 7th Expansion? I wasn't quite sure. A visual novel horror franchise. More specifically, this OVA is based on a short story included in the soundtrack to a third-person shooter spin-off game.
Okay.
The short story got its own visual novel, though, but I thought it was a crazy detail, so I wanted to include it.
Honestly, that's like the most third-party thing. I could not imagine anything more drastic.
Well, a lot of indie games, you get an art book and an OST, but then you've got all these Japanese games, you get a drama CD, and there's a short story included in the drama CD, and then they make a game based on the dramas.
Yeah, and you never know what is canon and what's not.
Pretty sure all of it's canon for this series. Somehow. My synopsis for this OVA is, when a virus attacks a village, some teenagers have to escape with their friends and their lives. Arturo, what have you got?
Excuse you, that's Lady Vampiric Artura. I'm sorry. After a visible virus strikes Himanisawa and leads to the entire city being quarantined, it's up to three teenage residents, Keiichi Maibara, Mion Sonosaki, and Rena Ryugu, to save a young girl. But is the virus everything it seems to be?
Okay, and Gozgoz?
After the news of a virus outbreak in a Japanese village and a subsequent quarantine, some of the village's inhabitants suspect it is connected to something about a curse and demons or some shit. Then the story suddenly goes from a 1 to a 10 when our endearing slice of life protagonists, who are just trying to get by, pull out all their mastery of martial arts and guerrilla warfare and slaughter thousands of backwards villagers to save their friend from being sacrificed.
Okay, I don't think it was thousands, but we'll get into that. Okay, we open in 1983, where helicopters wake a sleepy town. Well, village. I wrote down, as the news reports on a viral outbreak. It appears to be contained to certain areas of Japan, but is one of the deadliest viruses ever discovered. The incubation is from 30 to 50 days, which means they don't know how far it's spread. Keiichi and his family reluctantly comply with the World Health Organization's order to remain calm and head out to get a medical examination and collect water, which has been cut off along with the phones. Keiichi meets someone he knows, Rina, and asks about Satoko and Rika. We have not met them yet, but they live in another district, so aren't there. Rina explains that a car hit a telephone pole, which is why they don't work. And we never see them start working, so no one came to fix them. One of their friends, Mion, attacks Keiichi, but is happy that he and Rina are safe. Presumably after receiving the water, the three go off to discuss what's going on. The public are being told that the quarantine could last only a short time, but Mion has overheard some radio chatter saying otherwise. Apparently, the first victim of the virus was likely not patient zero.
Dun dun dun.
Worse than that, the virus may be a different disease to what's been reported. They think it's something from Africa. At least that's what it sounds like. I assume that in 1989 there was some sort of disease coming out of Africa. Mion suggests that it may be Oyashiro's curse, a local legend that something rose out of the swamp, that I'm not going to try and pronounce that name because it never comes up again, and attacked the village. turning people into demons. The only way to turn people back was if Oyashiro, the local deity, descended from heaven. As luck would have it, Rika, one of their friends, is apparently the reincarnation of Oyashiro, so could potentially do something about this disease.
That's a common known fact that she's the reincarnation of their local deity. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, it does seem to be like it's not just them that knows it. It's like everyone knows it.
Yeah, I was really shocked by that. I was like, oh, that's normal. Okay.
It was the 80s. Everyone was the deity of something.
Yeah, didn't you know that I am a reincarnation of a deity?
Did you know that I'm a descendant of Dracula?
As previously mentioned, however, Rika wasn't in the village, and since everyone's forbidden from entering or leaving because they're in quarantine, that meant they couldn't get her. The next day, Mion had heard on the radio that Rika was condition unknown and had been taken in for examination. We do later find out what's going on with her, but that's later. While there had been no word on the radio about Satoko, which apparently Rika lives with Satoku, and they're both children. Anyway, Mion seemed aware that she'd been accused of bringing the disease to the village. The three agreed to get the Satoko and to stay with Rina so that she's not alone, with Rika having been taken away. Mion warns Keiichi and Rina to be careful, as the locals had begun to claim that this was being caused by outsiders like them moving to the village, which had caused this ancient virus to resurface. A week later, because there's a sudden time skip, the World Health Organization troops had left the village, and the Ground Self-Defense Force had set up armed roadblocks outside of the village. They'd been cut off from radio and television broadcasts as well. Keiichi receives a letter from Mion telling him to be careful, as the neighborhood association were considering making an example of him and their family. Him and his family, as well as Rina's family. Mion also said that due to her position as head of the household, because her grandmother was sick, possibly with a virus, she could no longer protect Keiichi or Rina's families. This never plays into the plot after this point. The letter ends begging Keiichi to escape the village with his family and says that they and Rina's family can use the secret tunnels that Mion knows about. However, as soon as he reaches that bit, a gunshot rings out, interrupting any musings he has, and moments later, Rina arrives at the front door supporting Mion, who's been shot, which is why the sick grandmother never plays into the plot again. Keiichi asks if Mion's alright, and Rina snaps, "Of course she isn't!" Because, as I said, she's been shot. Made me laugh.
Yeah.
Rina runs back outside and hacks some men to death with a machete, which really surprised me, because up until this point, no one had hacked anyone to death with a machete.
I mean, this was like the unexpected nudity, but gore version.
Unexpected gore. She explains that they have to escape, as her father had just been killed when he tried to help Mion, who'd just been shot. Mion tells them that they have to leave Satoko behind, as she had been taken away on a boat to be sacrificed in the swamp. 3 days' time, and there were over 100 people taking part in the ceremony, which was to drown Satoko in 3 days' time. So at this point, their only hope would be for the deity Oyashiro himself to descend. Not even Rika could help. Again, reincarnation. Keiichi sends his parents off with Mion, while him and Rina head off to rescue Satoko. And then there's a break, because this must have been on TV. Gotta have a break for adverts. When we come back, we flash back to a week earlier at a boardroom where the Prime Minister is being briefed about a parasitic Class C brain virus, which apparently infects over 99% of humans.
Does that mean that all three of us have it?
Yeah. We're the less than 1% who does not have it. Sure. It's explained to be like E. coli and other microorganisms. They live relatively dormant, but the difference being that different Class C parasites don't react well towards one another, turning the hosts against the host of different parasites. that is the reason given for different nations disliking each other, and it's caused different religions to spring up. Long story short, a Class C virus was being developed as a biological weapon by the Secret Alphabet Council of Japan, and it got out.
Alphabet Council, responsible for teaching your kids in kindergarten and developing viruses.
I mean, obviously. Later that morning, we see Satoko being woken up by the helicopter that woke up Keiichi at the start of the OVA, and she discovers that Rika is already missing. She'd been abducted by the government somehow in the middle of the night without disturbing Satoko. We briefly see one of the doctors in the facility that Rika's in, wondering how the infection is spreading and why the preventative medicine isn't working. Fun fact, this is actually a character from the main series. I didn't catch their name in this OVA.
Lab coat man.
They had like two lines. We do find out why the WHO was taken out of the village. It's because at least four of their number had been infected despite all of their protective equipment. Then we cut back to the lab coat guy as he wonders how the virus has evolved so quickly and then shoots himself in the face in front of the window into Rika's room. We cut back to Keiichi and Reina as they finish murdering the people who'd been sent to kill them. I believe it was 20, wasn't it?
20,000, more like.
Oh, no.
Keiichi tricks two groups of guards into shooting at each other, and then they murder a third group guarding the cabin that Satoko is being held in. Reina's shot in the arm, but it seems absolutely fine as they make their escape with Satoko. As luck would have it, Rika arrives back at the village, where the spirit of Oyashiro talks to her about them separating. I mean, one of the images that I saw on the wiki was kind of like what we saw in this, of Oyashiro. And just as the spirit leaves, the others arrive and try to convince Rika to come with her, but she refuses, saying that it's fine, she'll be safe, because everyone else in the village will be dead soon. I mean, she got a point, she would be safe.
I mean, I thought it was a really logical thing to say. I was like, wow, that's logic? Wow.
The three of them meet up with Mion, and they ponder how the nearby city looks post-apocalyptic, even though it's been like a day, and how the world may have ended, but it's also a beginning. And then the credits hit.
And a rock song plays.
Yeah.
Well, not really, but I wish.
It kind of ended abruptly, I felt, but then I checked out some of the gameplay and it ends not as abruptly as the visual novel did. So I'll ask, was this a good adaptation?
Honestly, I think so. This was, I think halfway through the anime, I even completely forgot this was even based on a video game to begin with. So it did a good job of being an anime that feels standalone good enough. And I honestly, with the visual novel elements and stuff like that, I thought so. Perhaps not as much as some others that we've watched, but certainly.
And Goz, any thoughts?
I never watched any other anime or didn't play visual novel, but I'm guessing that it's probably good.
I checked out the gameplay for this, the visual novel that's based on the same story. Apparently it was released not long after, but after this anime. And it follows exactly the same story. It's literally a direct adaptation of the same material. Follows exactly what happens in the game. There are quotes that are shared between them, like when Reina says, of course she's not okay. The visual novels are light on the visuals and heavy on the novel. It's not people.
I can agree with that.
It's not people talking to each other as you'd expect in visual novels. It's some people talking and then a massive wall of text about this is then what happens, and then this happens, and then there's a knock at the door, and then. So I'll ask, as I often do, is this a spooks up, a scares down, or a meh? Arturo?
This was a spooks down for me, honestly. It's zero spooks, zero enjoyment. I actually thought I was kind of excited to watch it after knowing kind of like the premise was, but it left me kind of wanting. The story was silly. Like, a part of the anime, I thought, oh my gosh, it's the main characters that are infected. But no, they're just psychopaths.
From what I know about, like, in passing of, like, the, I guess, the main paths in the visual novel, is that in each one, someone goes crazy and starts killing people? Like, the virus seems to be a thing in more than just this OVA. So someone always goes crazy, so I think, like, it was always in the back of my mind is that they have a virus and they have a little tendency for murdering people because of that.
So is it a spooks up, a scares down, or a meh?
Oh, spooks up. I really enjoyed this one.
Okay, I give it a meh, personally, because the story didn't really make any sense to me. The animation was fine. The voice acting was fine. The music was fine. I didn't dislike any of it. It was just a bit of animated nonsense to watch.
I'm probably a big sucker for like Japanese lore and action and gore and guerrilla warfare. So probably that's why I really enjoyed it.
You identified with the main characters.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm meant to get around to looking this up, but what club do these kids belong to? Because they bring it up a couple of times. And it seems to be a murder club.
Yeah, it's like, oh, nothing worse than we've handled there. It sounds like 20 people.
Maybe like survival club, because they're in the sticks.
Well, whatever it was. Does this deserve its My Anime List score? Which, again, was 7.21.
No. I mean, I know we've watched the worst things. Like, Galarian's Rion has really lowered my expectation for everything else. So it's not as bad. But this one didn't have the level of bad for me that it makes it kind of enjoyable. I think for me it's kind of like a 5, where I can tolerate it, I guess, but it wasn't that good.
And goes?
It's probably okay score for that.
Okay, I'd give it closer to a 6, but again, the My Anime List scores are an aggregate of all the user reviews, so take it with a pinch of salt. It probably scores better as a continuation of the anime, but on its own, it really struggles.
Yeah, I really struggled to, like, they kept mentioning characters. I think it was 20 minutes in, and I was like, I don't know who we're talking about anymore. He threw this name at me, that name at me, and suddenly I was confused who was a deity, who wasn't, who was infected.
I'm the deity. Ace is my follower.
I am.
Cult of the Gorse.
And on that note, brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you for listening to the Spooky Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Grimcast podcast. And until next time, scream on.